Hey everybody, this is Andy Clodfelter.
This is Lisa Monahan.
And you're listening to 90s Court.
What's up? This thing. Do you remember soundboards from the 90s where you would go to some website and it would just be like a bunch of different fart buttons? And like a bunch of
through. That sounds like that's roughly, which is hilarious to me, thinking about the popularity of the fart in the 90s, like just that it still was funny at that point. It was officially acceptable to have farts, and they just fucking went wild with it. They're just like, we're gonna fart everything now.
It's true. Every sound machine, you have the yak back, which I'm sure made a fart sound, all the like slime that you could fart sound.
Yeah.
But in many ways, you are our soundboard, not of farts, but of just like random.
No, saying flarp. Flarp was a product that was sold. I mean, like pretty much any of those things, those random like goos that you got could make fart noises. But there was one called flarp that was exclusively for the purposes of making fart noises. 100%.
Finally, the 90s given us everything that we never wanted.
Yes. I said that to you earlier and I was like, this needs to be like said out loud because this is like the best description of the 90s is just the 90s answering all of the questions you never wanted to ask.
It's true. They gave us the answers.
Because it said like, I was thinking like, oh, giving you the answers to all the questions you never asked. But then it makes it seem like they were innovative. But it's like, yeah, I never asked the question, but I still don't want to ask it even now after you've given me the answer.
Exactly. Can I take it back? Can I take back the question I didn't ask?
Yes.
Can you have your answer back, please?
Yes, please. Please take this back. Take it back. I'm getting returns. So how has your week been?
It's Sunday and I have no idea what has happened. I made macarons with some lady friends.
And then the rest was a blur.
The rest was sewing. I sewed my face off this week. But then I was able to sew it back on.
That's good. Yeah, I can see it. It's like no marks.
Yeah.
This is how good of a seamstress she is. You can't even tell.
That's true. Exactly. What about you?
So the work onslaught continues, but I got peer pressured into something, and it's the favorite thing that I've ever been peer pressured into, which was that I purchased Borderlands 3, which is a game for Xbox One. I mean, it's for everything, really, but
yeah.
I have a friend in California and a friend in Florida, and we don't get to do stuff that much. We always have a constant group text that we've had going for like 8 years. So it's a good way for us to get to do stuff together. And I love the game and I'm super excited, and they're not a sponsor, but if you're looking for a good place, Borderlands 3, we're always looking for a little bit of cash.
It's true.
Hit it up.
Line those pockets.
Yeah. Secondly, I did want to note, and I mentioned this to you today, but I wanted to just say this because it just tickled me to death, was that so a couple episodes ago, to our mini-sode from last weekend, I believe, we did my thing that I covered was Echo the Dolphin, the smash hit video game from Sega Genesis, and I was just absolutely starstruck. When out of nowhere, like, I don't know if I even tagged Echo the Dolphin in the post or anything like that, but Ed Annunziata, who I mentioned last time, the creator of Echo the Dolphin, followed us on Twitter. So we've got that in our back pocket. So,
oh, man.
I know.
Making deep connections.
Deep connections. Ed, hook us up. So I'm pretty excited. It's been a good week and everything like that. So, I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. Sorry, I'm checking my fancy watch that I have here.
This is very flesh toned. It's very nice.
Oh, that's weird. I forget you can see me. So anyway, so I'm looking at this right now, and it looks like there's a message here. In an unconventional way, it looks like something just came across my desk.
It's court time, baby.
It's court time. And if that noise that you heard, that beeping noise, was any indication, I had my Power Rangers watch on that you know, makes the do-do-do-do-do-do sound. Mm-hmm. So appropriately, I was given a note informing me that we were going to be doing a court case today.
Okay.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers versus...
The Teenage Mutant
Ninja Turtles. Which I mentioned Mighty Morphin Power Rangers because I don't want to be mistaken for the hot garbage that came after, later on in the lifetime. After it was done, everybody was like, this is a masterpiece, thank you, it's done. And they were like, no, no, let us bring more and have it be real bad.
Okay. Oh, okay. I didn't know it was like the original series was kind of critically acclaimed. I wouldn't say that, but like beloved, obviously.
It's beloved, yes. That's 100% accurate. Okay. And I can give you the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Rotten Tomatoes rating or what have you. So
wait, actually,
it was...
before you do anything, before we start court cases, before we do anything, can you do the Rangers move? It's Morphin time. Don't they have like a hand and fist and a forearm situation? Oh shit. Wait.
They do like this arm swirl and then they push out their hand with like their thing, like they it's Morphin time.
Oh my god. Here's the thing. I'm gonna go on record right now. I've probably in my entire life seen a few minutes of the Power Rangers. I was deeply not into the Power Rangers at all. So I do remember seeing that sometimes. Mm-hmm. That cool move you just did. It seemed legit, so I'm gonna let you have that.
There are fans out there that you will not be covering the Power Rangers as I have chosen to defend them in court. And I believe since I went first last week, Lisa, guess who gets to go first on your, because this time.
It me. Guess what? I'm cracking my knuckles. You can't hear him because my microphone's kind of crappy. And I'm going to present the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which was perfect because you had your Mighty Morphin Power Rangers watch on when the message came in. I was hanging out in the sewers. So it was perfect. What hilarious timing. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, all right, created by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. Yes, they are basically anthropomorphic. I can never say that whenever I want to. Anthropomorphic crime-fighting turtles. What? Did I just blow your mind?
No, I think you were going to say the producers were.
No. Oh, no. No, they're anthropomorphic crime-fighting turtles that lived in the sewers of New York City, which in and of itself is pretty rad. Who doesn't want to see turtles? Who doesn't want to see turtles acting like humans? Who doesn't want to see the human turtles fighting crime? A lot of people want to see that. So you've got you've got the four dudes, right? Of course, they're all named after famous painters and whatnot. Leonardo, he was the blue mask dude. He had two swords and he was the courageous leader. Michelangelo, orange mask with nunchucks. He was the goofy pizza-loving jokey boy. Donatello was the purple mask dude with the bow staff. And he was kind of the sciencey nerd guy, the Raphael with the red mask and the pair of saints. I think I maybe incorrectly wrote that. He had a pair of something. All right. And he was
Who are you asking about? Raphael?
Raphael.
He had a pair of size. He's size.
Okay. Stupid ass text said it changed my notes. Size. Thank you. Not saints. So he was the more aggressive one. He had the New York accent. He was pretty cool. The other characters that were important to note were Splinter, who was, of course, their rat. Sensei, super cool guy who taught them in the form of ninjutsu. I hope I said that right. April O'Neil, who I forgot all about, who is the former lab assistant to Baxter Stockman, who is one of the villains. Yes. And he was like ended up being like a little chummy with the turtles because why not? A human woman wants to hang out with some super creepo turtles. It's totally fine. Casey Jones, who I had a vague memory of, but he was the vigilante who wore the hockey mask.
Yes.
Steal his identity, but was also kind of like a love interest of April. And it's like, really? Really? All right. So
you're working with.
Yeah, yeah. So just real quick, gonna run through the enemies. You remember all these guys. Shredder, who did you ever see you saw the movies in the 90s, right?
I did see the movies. I did also watch some of the cartoons as well. The only bummer of that, of course, was that you didn't get any Krang going on in the movie. But Krang was just sticks in my brain. Like it just like it's as far as creations and like creativity, like the idea of Krang is being like, hey, it's a brain that like uses like operates like a mecha suit and stuff like that. It was just buck wild. But anyways, mm-hmm. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, there's Krang. Thank you for already introducing him because he's pretty insane. Like, and I distinctly, for some reason, he always comes up whenever I think of Hi-C, even though I know Ecto Cooler was Slimer. Not the same dude, but I always get them a little mixed up.
I think that would sell a little bit worse with the crank juice.
There's a fat brain man on the front of my my juice box. Now I'll still buy it.
The best follow-up to Ecto Cooler ever is just some like mildly pink fluid, and they're just like, it's tasteless. It tastes a little bit funky, but it's crank juice. It's basically just the sauce that he sat in his little glass ball.
Ew. You know, that went further than I expected it, and I appreciate your appreciate
that's what
that
I'm here
lot.
For, it to push the limits.
It's true. So Shredder, I distinctly remember, because in the movies from the 90s, the live action ones, Shredder was pretty freaking terrifying. He still sticks in my head.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Karai, who was one of, of course, I'm sorry. Shredder is one of the main villainous masters there. He's the leader of the Foot Clan, which is just a crew of evil ninjas. Karai is apparently the highest ranking female of the Foot Clan. Baxter Stockman, whom I introduced earlier, is an adventurer slash scientist dude who's an enemy to the turtles and a friend of Krang. And of course, we've already talked about Krang. And then Bebop and Rocksteady, the criminal duo. Yeah, the Warthog and Rhino. Pretty awesome. That was interesting. But anyway, so Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles started off actually in the 80s as a comic book, and then it kind of turned into a cartoon series, spun off into video games and films and everything else. It really took off in fame once they started merchandising them, and in 87 they were turned into little action figures. And then an ad agency took that and created the backstory that would kind of live on through the entire run of the product and the shows and everything like that. The show went on network in CBS in 1987. It was pretty lighthearted, but it's kind of the comic book continued on, and it was still super gritty and dirty. And I kind of like that. I like that they kind of had the like, oh, this is for TV, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And they were like, but down below the actual comic book world, it's still funk and nasty dirty. And so I actually want to go back and take a look at those sometimes. But in the 90s came the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies, which we talked about, with the Turtles and Splinter. And they were actors in partially animatronic suits. And we all remember this, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm like with the super creepy teeth, and you could see the people's eyes in through the mouth sometimes, and it was a nightmare.
Yes.
Yeah. And they were those were actually created by Jim Henson's team. I didn't know that. That was something new.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And it spawned two sequels, The Secret of the Ooze and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. And apparently there was going to be a fourth one, and they were like, no, cancel that. Later on, it became a series called The Ninja Turtle, The Next Mutation, which started in 97, but was canceled after a single season. In its heyday, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were everywhere. And then I think they just saturated and maybe had a great time. But like, can we talk about something really important that I discovered today, which I did not know, that in the Next Mutation series, they developed a female character named Venus de Milo.
Oh, God, you sent me that video.
It was terrifying. So just imagine the Ninja Turtles, who are pretty cool-ish, in their, like, super hyped-up way. And then imagine they slim her down, give her turtle-shell titties, and you got Venus de Milo, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle lady. And I was like, "This." And basically, immediately after that, they were like, all right, that's a wrap. And I think
the creator of it, like, saw that episode and was just like, I hate to kill my own child, but I have to let this thing die. I have to let it die.
I'm going to hold you under the water for a little bit because we created a monster and it's over. But one thing I also learned, and I don't know if you saw this, but apparently there was a crossover episode with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the Power Rangers.
What?
Yes. I don't know what series, what it existed on, but apparently that was something that happened. And so now we both have some homework to do when this case is over. But let's just talk about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were awesome. When I think back to the 90s, they're probably the number one franchise I think of in terms of like cartoons and things like that. They were everywhere. Every product, every pizza place, every drink that you had, every birthday party you went to, every nunchuck you picked up was Ninja Turtles. And, Secret of the Ooze was awesome. It was such a badass movie for when I was a kid. But the whole franchise they're still going in their own way, I'm sure. I don't know if was active in 2019 for the Ninja Turtles, but they've been going since the 80s, and I hope they get laid to rest soon.
I mean, honestly, it's like these days, like people still like their like products are just sell. Like, I mean,
Yeah.
everybody still wants Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, like Halloween costumes, they are still a super popular like Halloween costume. It's just, oh, throw a freaking shell on and put on a like a bandana thing around your eyes with holes in it. By the way, did you read? It was a podcast, and I cannot remember the name of the podcast, so I apologize if you were a listening person who did this, but it's one of the ones that we know from Twitter. They talked about Ninja Turtles and how it was very much influenced by Daredevil,
I didn't see that.
like in a lot of ways. And so Daredevil, like not only I'm thinking about now, like because it makes so much sense. Like, do you know Daredevil?
I don't really,
He's
actually.
blind and he's got like this like headband on, and then so I'm like seeing them all with these headbands and these eye slits and everything like that. I
Oh.
remember they said like some of the connections was, for example, like the Hand was known as the bad guys in the in that, and the Foot Clan is the bad guys in Ninja
Oh.
Turtles, and there was a bunch of different stuff that they had mentioned. I mean, but and I guess, yeah, anyways, there's a bunch of connections I guess that allegedly kind of led to that, but that might be more with the comics than with
Yeah, maybe
the
so.
people. But that was cool. And I, yeah, this the toys for both of these things we're going to be talking about were unbelievable. Like I remember, of course, I had one of those friends that like had the toys, like and but like was a responsible child and always took very good care of them. So he had them like in perfect condition. Like he had this big turtle van, and then he had like the big base for Krang and everything like that. Like
So awesome.
and these toys are huge, and they're just like in his closet, and he would bust them out, and then he'd put them back like in perfect. It was just, yeah, they made some choice toys and collectibles back in the 90s, and of course, like I said, they still make so much stuff nowadays too.
Yeah, well, I rest on Mutant Ninja Turtles, the teenage dudes.
Yeah, and of course, we've already covered their video games in the past, so we don't need to
Yeah.
even touch on the fact that they had some absolute bangers of video games. One of which I still own, which is the Turtles in Time video game for SNES.
Oh, I was gonna say, no wonder I never played that one. I didn't have the SNES. Shoot.
Yeah, womp womp. So yeah, so no, wonderful case.
Thank you.
I respect your effort. However, I do believe that the true victor is about to present itself.
Let's do it. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so
All right.
thank you, everybody. Welcome to the soon to be victorious court case that shaped my childhood in an extremely positive way. So take yourself back. I'm sure
Okay.
you know who the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers are. I will say this: there is more brand recognition, absolutely, for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But as far as like excitement, thrills, like original content, like they just did such a good job with this, is that basically, as many of us know, especially now with the ease of access to like products from other countries and everything like that, and being able to see like, you know, they've got like anime and stuff like that. It always felt to me, and I think that probably this is true. I mean, there's probably even like some things talking about it specifically, but I don't want to go into too much depth on something I don't know about. But basically, is that they needed to find a way to basically say, hey, Japan and, you know, I'm sure South Korea, like some other places like that, are crazy about this stuff, like are crazy about this kind of like almost like epic, like you know what I mean, like when I say epic, like because it's almost like a self-seriousness that like anime and things like that have about themselves, and a lot of those like where it's like everything is the stakes are so high and it's so poetic and inspiring and everything like that, and they didn't really have that as much over here, and they were like, let's figure out a way to make this brandable for Americans because we want to make money over there. So they said, let's get some teens with attitude. Let's give them powers and then send them wild onto the earth in an effort to save the world multiple times from evil.
Every day,
All day,
every single day.
every day they're morphering. So So Power Rangers came out in, let me see, it premiered in 1993 on the Fox Kids Network on weekday afternoons and Saturday mornings.
That's when it premiered in the U.S.?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So here's the crazy thing for me is that I didn't watch, like, I watched so little besides Nickelodeon that if I went out of my way to watch something that was not on Nickelodeon, it meant it was something that was super badass, and I really liked it. So, this came out, just to give you a quick rundown of synopsis of that. A lot of you already know, but here we go. First season, I'm going to talk about the first two seasons and the movie because the third season didn't happen. And the future seasons that came out several years later that were absolute nonsense also didn't happen. The movie counts. The first two seasons count. Okay. After everything after that, once they started becoming ninjas and stuff like that, was fake. So season one, this takes place in Angel City. What was that the name of it?
I cannot verify any facts here.
Don't worry about it. I'm talking to myself out loud. Anyways, so Angel Grove, California. So basically they, on an exploratory mission, these two astronauts discover this container, and they open it up and whoops, there's a person in there, but it's not a person. It's like an evil sorceress named Rita Repulsa. She's been in there for 10,000 years. So she then is like, "Welp, I'm out. Time to fuck shit up immediately." Because she just realized, she's like, I'm glad I'm out. I mean, honestly, like, let's be real. If you've been stuck in a container for 10,000 years, I'm ready to fuck some shit up too. Like, let's be
sure. Like, I need to stretch. I need to get a coffee, and then I'm going to dominate this whole earth.
That's actually, they showed her stretching, getting a coffee, and then being like, all right, now I'm ready. And then she went to her moon base. And so as she was released, at the same time, the wise sage Zordon, who you might remember Zordon, was basically a poorly generated face on a, like, inside of a glass, like, wall, pretty much.
Yes.
Rangers, blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, his little assistant, Alpha 5,
I hated that duo.
Yes. So they were like, hey, kids, we need you teens to save the world. I know it's weird. We could have gotten anyone, but we chose you.
We chose you, you sexy teens, you.
You. Partially because Kimberly was with you.
Yeah.
And we were like, we need some of that hot teen action. And get
in, like, in like a pink leather suit. And then the rest of you guys can come. But, like, we need her in the pink leather suit.
We need her in that. And then the rest of you guys, you know, whatever. So, I mean, there's the backstory of the kids. You know, that's kind of one cool thing is that they do show, and that's kind of what made it more relatable with, like, American Kids and everything like that, is they show the struggle of, like, you know, bullying and everything like that, which is hilarious to me because they were bullied, and the bully, the local bullies of the area were named Bulk and Skull, who, like, wore, like, I don't know, like, black t-shirts with, like, skulls on them and, like cut-off leather jackets and stuff like that. Not leather jackets, but, like, cut-off jean jackets and stuff. And they were just doofuses. Like, they were just idiots. And, I mean, so they, for comic relief, they were good. I know there was at least one episode where they ended up, like, playing a big part in, like, actually saving the Rangers, which was super cool. Because they obviously normally were, like, the bad guys in terms of, like, the everyday life of the Rangers, of being douchebags. They also look like they were, like, 22 and, like, we're just, like,
I was gonna say there's a receding hairline on the bigger one for sure.
So it was like, you're like, wow, I don't know what's wrong with these kids, but they're there. But so starting out the series, Rita Repulsa, who's the main bad guy in the first season, and this is the thing, is I was reading up on this, I forgot this until when I heard it, I was like, it all came rushing back, was that so Tommy, who is the Green Ranger potentially and the White Ranger, he was kind of like, there's the five Rangers. There's the Red Ranger, the Black Ranger, the Blue Ranger, the Yellow Ranger, and the Pink Ranger.
Okay.
And those five are kind of the main core ones. And so Rita's like, I'm going to get this guy. I'm going to brainwash this kid. Kind of some weird BDSM stuff. She brainwashes this kid. She brainwashes this kid and gives him powers of the Dragon Zord. And she sends them to fight the Power Rangers and defeat them. And he almost does, which is a bummer. But I will say this, the Dragon Zord and the way that he summoned the Dragonzord was the coolest thing ever. And the fact that they basically were like, hey, he's the bad guy, only for like an episode, and then they end up beating him, and then he gets unbrainwashed and then ends up joining their team. But they're kind of like, he's going to join your team, but only in emergencies. So, like, he's not around all the time, which is super weird to me that you're like, we could just keep you around all the time and make it so we, like, never lose. But let's make it so, like, it's just the five of us. We almost lose. And then maybe you come in to save us at the end. But basically, Tommy, who is kind of the heartthrob, I looked at all the pictures of them, like, future, like then and now. The Red Ranger didn't hold up as well. I'm not going to say that. That's not nice. He's changed. But the other guy, like, he kind of, Tommy looks like he's really trying to relive the glory days, as he's like staying in really, really good shape. And like has pictures of him like wearing his Green Ranger outfit, like as like a 40-year-old and stuff. So the Zords, of course, they would, they each got their Zord. They got the power to turn into basically a Power Ranger first, where they have the suits on everything, and they're really good at fighting and karate. And then, of course, they each have their respective Zords that were different dinosaurs for each different color. And then, of course, they could turn into the Megazord, which was when they all joined up together and turned into basically a large man. There was a version, but it doesn't show
very much. Turn into a large man.
Turn into a large mechanical man and fight things, which is always hilarious because they would always start out as the dinosaurs first and just be trying to fight the massive bad guy. And I don't think I ever saw one where, this is probably wrong, but where they just beat him as their respective dinosaurs by themselves.
They always have to do the human centipede.
They end up turning into the human centipede and eating each other's poop before they can finally win. There was eventually, and this is cool too, the toys did this too, was you had the Megazord, and then there was the Dragonzord, where then in addition to the Megazord, the Dragonzord would basically hook with it as well, and made it into like the Super Megazord. I don't remember what the exact term for it was, but anyways, they basically had a situation where Tommy, the Green Ranger, the whole season, as it's going on, he's losing his power gradually because he got it granted by Rita. So it's a different source than the rest of them. Mm-hmm. And eventually he loses his powers. But then in the meantime, Zordon helps him regain his powers. And I'm trying to remember if this is the first season or the second season, but it was the second season this happened. I'm sorry. So they try to help him. They try to have him stay because he was losing his power. But and then in the second season, he came back, and that's when he became the White Ranger.
Oh, that's new. He was a new edition Ranger.
He lost his powers as the Green Ranger. There's this whole big thing about it. He basically used his powers, got rid of them, and destroyed the Zord and everything like that to make sure that Rita wouldn't use it for bad. And then he was granted the White Ranger token, which was also super badass. Like, it's always like, let's make the most badass one just not a regular part of the show. Like, he was kind of a regular part of the show, but not regular enough. So he turned into, he had a sweet lion Zord, which is kind of weird because the rest of them were dinosaurs. But yeah, so that happened. The other guys lost their Zords and became new Zords. So I don't need to go through the whole recap of all of it. But the next season, of course, had Lord Zedd, who was basically a walking muscle.
What?
Yes. Do you need to look at a picture?
I'm looking at this. Lord Zedd, just Z-E-D.
Z-E-D-D.
Okay.
Who was basically, he had like metallic plates kind of showing like form over his face and everything. But he was basically a giant muscle. Like if you cut yourself and you looked at some bare muscle, it would just be him everywhere.
A skinned rabbit with a mask. This is terrifying.
Yes. So it was a great show. I really, really loved it. I don't even, like, I had no idea until just now that I basically watched two seasons. Like, I thought, because again, everything seemed like it went on for so long. But the two seasons that I watched, because like I said, the third season, I probably watched it a little bit, but I kind of lost interest because they're like, hey, you lost your powers and now you're ninjas. Like, which I'm just like, stop. No ninjas. Like, why is this a thing?
No ninja, no.
So the movie, which you might remember, was in 1985.
Okay.
It was an absolute banger of a film. I love. I say these things about things that were 100% not bangers. It was a good. It was a fine movie, and I enjoy it. And we still make jokes about it today because, like, there are certain. So there. This is one where Ivan Ooze came into the equation. He was basically the new guy that basically banished both Lord Zedd and Rita Repulsa, and was like, "I'm taking over." And he basically had this stuff called Ivan's Ooze that he sold as like a shady salesman to people.
You can't do that in a kid's movie.
The kids would take it home, and then the parents, it would like open up, and then it would like put this pink stuff into their head, and they ended up getting brainwashed. And then the parents were basically trying to kill the kids. Like, so that's a cool thing that happened.
Wow.
So, but Ivan Ooze, the actual character, like, he is so quotable because he's the goofiest character. And I remember, like, I think it was my little brother and my cousin. There was one, like, God, I'm not going to say it, but Ivan's Ooze.
Yeah. I was gonna say this is kind of upsetting.
Yes, there's a lot of upsetting characters. At all. But look at the
creepy shit.
Yeah, the poster for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie was so good. They even made a video game based on the movie. They also had multiple based on just the show in general. One of them was a fighting game, which I played a lot, and the other one was more of an arcade style game, very similar to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games, actually.
Okay.
So, but no, anyways, the series in general has held a place in my heart and so many people's heart for so long. It was, like I said, it's one of those things that, like, they try and put comedy into it and everything like that, and that was good, but, like, it was one of those things where it's cool to have, like, heroes, teen heroes and everything like that that are human, and kind of the idea of, you know, power being placed in the hands of people that were unlikely and everything. And so I still, even now, think it holds up. And then they had a re-release. They had a new movie that came out like a year ago or 2 years ago. That was Power Rangers. And it was basically.
Yeah, I just saw that 2017. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was actually a pretty good. Like, I watched it. I will say this. It was worth watching. It was kind of like a bad reboot in this. But it was kind of trying to be like, you know, Batman Begins. When it's kind of like, hey, we're going to go back and we're going to show you how the whole thing really happened. And Rita Repulsa was really hot in that one too. So, but no, it was a really good flick. They did a good job on rebuilding that and basically being true to the original as well, which I appreciated. But yeah, and then the toys on this one, like I mentioned, similar to those, like they made like the functionality, the fact that they're like, hey, we've got a, you know, the T-Rex, the Triceratops, you know, all the different ones that they had, all the different dinosaurs, and then of course the later Zords that they came out to. They marketed the shit out of these things, and they had to have made just so many millions of dollars just off the toys themselves.
Yeah.
They were so, like, and they all connected in the way exactly like the Megazord did, and even the Dragonzord, when you bought that, it would hook up, and they had sound effects they made and everything like that, a big sword that the Megazord would hold, all that stuff. Anyways, that's my presentation. Love Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Love both of these, really, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just was physically capable of defending Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, which is why I did that. So
yeah, and it was something I never watched. But honestly, two young'un crime fighting specialties on the docket for this week.
Yeah,
interesting.
I think this will be an interesting poll. I have a feeling that Turtles will win because of the fact that they still hold a lot more sway over popular culture today. It's one of those things where it's like, how dare you? How could you ever think that Mighty Morphin Power? But people who are true and think, you know, truly back on it and be like, what was the better show? Who had the better toys?
I would say that probably the Power Rangers toys are probably the best. Like, I never had the toys, I mean.
Yeah.
Like, I never had them, but my male cousins did. And I loved their little jointed legs and arms. It was really delightful.
They put a lot of love and tenderness into those toys.
They did. Well, we'll have people chime in on Facebook and Twitter and everything like that to let us know who they think is the better one there. So can I switch gears on you now, Mr. Andy?
Hey, please.
Mr. Andy Klotfelter, I'm going to talk to you now about a song that spent 14 weeks at number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 singles. 14. 14 weeks at number one. Did you spend 14 weeks at number one? You did not. I want to talk to you about a song that was dubbed by VH1 as the number one greatest one-hit wonder of all time. Do you know what that song is?
I could not even...
Well, let me skip forward a little bit. And so, dadgummit. Dadgummit. Well, anyway. Hi. That's all you need. And you're going to be singing that for the next year and a half.
Nope.
There it is.
You want to know? You want me to give you my quick before you say anything else?
Of course.
The reason this song was popular is absolutely 100% because they're like, hey, it shows us how to dance. Like, we don't have to think of anything.
People, Americans specifically, love a song that's like, move it to the left, move it to the right, put your hands front, put your hands back in your pockets, go sit down. They're like, I love this song.
I love taking naps.
I love this song. I love taking naps. The Macarena was an insane hit. Like I said, 14 weeks at number one in the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 singles. It sold over, the single alone sold 11 million copies.
Holy
all right.
Crap.
Yeah. So, real quickly, background, which I had no idea about. I'll go real quickly. Humble Beginnings as a song created on the spot by one of the members of Los Del Rio, who originally performed it, while they were performing in South America in 1992 at a party held by the Venezuelan impresario Gustavo Cisneros. This just sounds completely preposterous, does it not? It's like, I'm sorry, I thought this was just a song with videos of ladies in like super tight leather shorts. Turns out, no. It was created after they were watching a flamenco teacher perform at this party. And the lyrics for the original song in Spanish were, give your body some joy, Magdalena, because your body is for giving joy and good things to it.
Oh my gosh. So this was basically a song about like prostitutes.
Basically being like, oh, you a saucy lady. Why don't you do some good stuff to that body, Miss Lady? But then in 96, a radio DJ in Miami was hosting a party, and multiple club goers started requesting it. And he was like, what is going on here? What is this song? And he sought it out and found it and was like, this is a huge hit. We need to put it in English. So he started working with these two supervisors at the radio station and got them to make an English version of the song. And so two partners at Bayside Records remixed the original song and thus created the Macarena that we now know and love, which has just think about it. Every wedding you've gone to, every party, bat mitzvah, quinceañera, like the Macarena. Even like at church, sometimes you'll catch a kid doing the like. It's just there. It's just part of American culture. Most of us have DNA shared, you know, that includes the Macarena.
it just embedded itself in my DNA.
Yeah, it's just I love how much it took America by complete storm. Just like gobbled us up, made us dance very poorly, and then spit us out on the other side, in Britney Spears' lap.
Back, Duck, here you go.
Like, yeah, but
things are gonna be bad for a while. We thought we'd give you something to feel comfort for now.
Yeah. So hold on. 96. We were 11. What grade would that be? Seventh.
Sixth. I'd say sixth.
So think about how perfect that is, because we were probably going to our first dances and things like that. I'm gonna ask someone to dance with me. Oh, dear God, please let it be to the Macarena so I can have a good time and not have to put my hands on someone else because I'm too emotionally immature for this yet. So the Macarena was kind of just amazing. And I'll listen to it sometimes and sing it. And then I hope it goes and get buried super deep in my brain so I never have to hear it again.
Now, when you say sing it, you mean just... You don't know any of the words.
Like, I just sing... whatever feels right, whatever I thought I heard syllable wise, I'd give my best white girl shot.
It's too bad we haven't done the poetry jam for this, because when I dance, they call me Macarena, and the boys, they say, que esto buena. They all want me. They can't have me. So they all come and dance beside me, move with me, chant with me. And if you're good,
I'll take you home with me.
Okay. See, you know some things.
You can't. You want me? You can't have me. I'm going to take you home anyway. I'm such a tease. Jeez Louise.
Jeez,
the name of the song should be called Jeez Louise.
Jeez Louise, the song.
Short and sweet. I really just wanted to bring up the Macarena because it, again, it was embedded in 90s culture. It's still like if someone pops it on the record player, the radio, our Bluetooth speakers, you're going to be doing the Macarena no matter where you are. So
luckily, for the most part, people have a choice in what music they listen to. And for most, it's not the Macarena.
I would say the vast, vast, vast majority, 99.4% of Americans do not want to hear the Macarena ever again.
99.4.
Like,
conducted many studies, so
I have. Anyway.
So, anyways.
Yeah.
Do you think it'd be a good time for us to give our listeners a little break?
I'm going to go do the Macarena. You're going to do whatever you want to do. I'm going to go practice the Macarena, and I'll meet you after our break.
Sounds good. We'll see you back shortly.
All right. See ya.
And welcome back from the break.
I am very sore from doing the Macarena for 12 minutes straight.
A new huffy bike.
I don't know why
I just thought of that voice I did. I was like, that sounds totally like the guy announcing things for Legends for the Hidden Temple with the prizes, like a trip to space camp. So welcome back, everybody. I did want to quickly go over our poll for last week's debate, our court case. The verdict is in. It was honestly, there was a hung jury, and then they came out and said, no, we're going to reverse our original decision, which was Leo Titanic versus Leo Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
Leonardo DiCaprio from Titanic ended up coming out victorious, 52% to 48%, which, let me tell you, Lisa and I, when we first set out to do this, assumed it was going to be an absolute bloodbath in favor of Titanic. But yeah, apparently our listeners actually were like, oh, no, you mean Leo, how his acting performance was in the show. And I have never seen Romeo and Juliet to know how it was. So apparently he did a bang up job in that show.
He did.
Lisa was leading by a mile for a long time. And apparently people, all of the casuals at the end came in and were like, Titanic is a better movie, and they just clicked on that. So thank you, Casuals, for coming out.
Casuals, honestly, it's a gut feeling, right? It's like you either Titanic spoke to you, or you took a moment to breathe, and you were like, actually, Romeo and Juliet was better, and then you voted for Romeo and Juliet. But if you didn't take a moment to breathe,
a lot of impulse buys on Titanic. I'd say.
I shoot from the hips in every aspect of life, so I do not blame you for voting Titanic.
But you're wrong.
You're wrong, but it's okay.
But anyway, so thanks everybody again for voting. We'll try and get more poll. We'll have our poll out this week as well to see who wins from our first debate. So, Lisa.
What up?
And I already talked a little bit about this, and I talk about it most of the time when we do this, but the 90s, like I said, they answered questions that no one ever asked and no one ever wanted answered. And that's why I'd like to bring you another one of Andy's Buckwild 90s products.
You should get a theme song for that.
90s Buckwild product.
And then like, oh boy, at the end or something.
So this week I brought you, this was one of the first things. So we do a list and we have some stuff written out for different segments and everything like that for ideas. And this was the first thing I wrote down because this is the one that just, like, when I think about it, I'm just like, this was just the biggest misstep of, like, clearly something where they either thought that, like, we're only going to be here for like 2 months probably. And so, like, we'll trick people into buying the first one and know that they'll never buy another. Or they just didn't fucking think. They just didn't think. They were just like, let's just do this because it'll be cool. So you know how beverages are a thing, right?
Yes. I do.
Describe to me a beverage in its general, like in its most broken down theme. Like, what is a beverage?
A drink, a liquid that you consume often out of pleasure or thirst, hopefully thirst.
That is exactly the definition of a beverage. So calling this a beverage is loose. is loosely correct.
I'm kind of nervous now.
Because the 90s dared to say, what if we made a beverage that was basically like, okay, I'll just tell you what it is.
Okay.
I'd like to talk to you today about Orbitz drink. Orbitz soft drink.
Wait. No, okay, not like Orbitz gum.
Orbitz gum.
Okay.
Not Orbitz the website that you find hotel deals and stuff. Orbitz drink. So this fucking beverage, which I am going to deign a drinkable lava lamp, was brought into existence in 1997.
What the fuck is this?
But it's advertised like a motherfucker. And here's the thing. When you saw this in the store, it was the most noticeable fucking thing you would see. Like, absolutely. Like, as far as marketing, they're like, people are going to see this and be like, what the fuck is that? The problem they didn't think after that was like, will people see that, have that thought, and then think, I want that in my mouth? Like, because that was the problem. I did have one of these. And it was like, so let me first off describe the liquid itself.
Okay.
So this plasma membrane, or this cytoplasm, we'll say cytoplasm, that the cells all wandered around in.
This is Krang juice.
This is Krang's juice. This is the actual Krang juice. See, they, High C didn't get in on this one. They were like, no, we'll let the Clearly Food and Beverage Company of Canada handle this one. Which apparently they did right the ship, and they did make Clearly Canadian. So they did have at least one winner. But basically, this was a very viscous, dense fluid. It was basically like, I can't even describe. It was like, I'm trying to think of another drink. It was kind of like a syrupy, like not maybe that thick, but like a very light syrup that was kind of like, it was flavored whatever the flavor was. Like,
okay.
They had blueberry, melon, strawberry, raspberry citrus, vanilla orange. Other things like that. They compare it now. They would say it's like the closest thing in comparison would be like bubble tea, which I've never had bubble tea, but like that's not the same thing by any means. But basically,
that's what I was gonna say. This reads like boba tea.
Yeah. But basically, it's like I'm gonna drink this thing and just have slimy balls going down my throat. And here's the thing, is you would think like, man, something as buck wild as this, given how the 90s were, would actually succeed. But it didn't. It was introduced in 97, was advertised heavily. It was marketed as texturally enhanced alternative beverage. Alternative beverage is fucking right. Because like, if you're just like, I want a beverage, they're like, well,
yeah.
We don't have any of those, but we do have an alternative beverage. It's like kind of like drinking chunks of wet bread inside of olive oil, but with slightly better flavor. That was the reason that I mentioned the viscousness of the fluid was because of the fact that the balls would literally stay afloat, like in there, like kind of in their spot. They would go like up and down and everything like that, but not very fast because of how viscous. Because otherwise, they would just fall to the floor. If it was more like water, they would just sink to the bottom. But yeah, so basically, within a year, not even a full year of its release, it was discontinued.
Wow, that fast.
Yes, and then very shortly after, the Orbitz name was bought by the travel company who bought the website domain name and basically took over Orbitz, the Orbitz name. It's one of those things that it's like, I can't believe this was only around for a year, because I'm sure that they still had it in stores because they discontinued it, but like they weren't going to recall all of them or anything like that, so they were still in there, but I tried this. I had it at least once, and I regretted it.
I'm sure. Yeah, lava lamp inspired blueberry, lemon, strawberry. Nope.
So that is Orbitz. The reminder why just because you dream it doesn't mean you should do it.
For sure. Also, I was concerned because I was looking at this. I was like, okay, you're saying it's syrupy. It's got these weird balls. I mean, I don't know how many ounces were in one of these bottles, but this, for me, nutrition facts are interesting. This had 30 grams of sugar. I flip over one picture, one can of Surge, which I probably drank three or four of a day, had 42 grams of sugar. Oh, so my gosh.
Better.
No, it's way. Oh, it's so bad. It's everything. The 90s were just like, would you like some sugar thrown into your eyeballs? Here it
because
is.
Because they knew the kids 90s. Wanted that shit. And like, because kids, like, back then it was like caffeine. Like, you wanted the thing with the most caffeine because you wanted to be the most hyper. And like, just thinking about that now, it's so weird to me. Like, the fact how much that was such a big deal back then.
And they were like, all you guys have ADD. It's like, no, we've just had six cans of Surge and it's 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Mom.
So that's my presentation on Orbitz, which does not deserve any more time than it's already received. So what do you say, Lisa? We do our finish off the show with our trusty standby.
For
Kiss,
sure.
Mary, Kill.
For sure. Can I go first? Is that cool with you?
I think you should go first. Yes.
I would love to hit you. It's going to be topical tonight. Are you prepared? I'm hitting you with some one-hit wonders.
Okay.
Not making you subject women to anything tonight. Are you ready?
Yay. Okay.
Objectify an episode, not subject. Objectify women. Tonight you are objectifying one-hit wonders. Okay. Here we are. Number one, Lou Bega's Mambo Number 5.
Okay.
Okay. Number two, Marcy Playground's Sex and Candy. You know that one, right?
Yeah.
And number three, Chumbawamba's Tub Thumping.
Tub Thumping?
I get knocked down.
I know. I cannot believe that is the name of the song. I have heard that song so many times. I did not know that was the name of the song.
You didn't know that was the song? Oh,
what's
yeah.
What's wild to me is I've heard Chumbawamba, the name Chumbawamba, a billion times and never heard Tub Thumping.
Tub Thumping was the name of the song. Yeah.
Man.
So do you want a little bit of... Mary,
a little bit of Mardi Gras.
Or do you want a Sex and Candy, or do you want a Tub Thump? These are all weird choices. These are all super weird choices.
Wait, hold on. Was it Mambo Number 5? Was it Lou Bega?
It was Lou Bega.
Okay. What was the one that Cherry Pop and Daddies made?
Cherry Pop and Daddies?
That was the swing one. That's right. A Zoot Suit Riot. That's the one they did.
Oh. Were you a band nerd, Andy? Have we talked about this?
I was in chorus, no.
Okay, I was in band, and we definitely performed Zoot Suit Riot in, like, 9th or 10th grade.
Should I only bring it up? Because I think I brought this up before, but the fact that the name Cherry Pop and Daddies is so problematic.
It's,
in so many, like, I can't believe, like, this was something, I think it was on another show, it was by another podcast, but somebody mentioned that, and I was like, oh my god, I have never thought about the name of that band until this moment, and I cannot believe that it was allowed to exist.
We're like, Cherry Pop and Daddies, not as bad as their previous choice, Sperm Shooting Cousins. Like, this is much nicer. Very thankful.
I'm in Ripping Honey.
Oh my gosh.
I know. This is very explicit. Anyways.
Yeah.
God, this is tough. Here's the thing. Of these three, like, Sex and Candy is the only one that I actually, like, if it came on the radio right now, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
like, I'd be,
for sure.
Like, the other ones I'd be like, oh my god, this is hilarious. But, like, Sex and Candy, I would say because of the fact that it has staying power and I would be fine with listening to it regularly, I'm going to marry Sex and Candy.
Okay.
Let's use Playground.
This is rough.
I got it. I'm sorry. Like, this is hard because both of them are just, I don't like either of them. But I think it's because of the fact that I've quoted, hey, what's a whiskey drink? Hey, what's a vampire? You don't like a lager drink? No, you don't like a drink. It's just like, I'm like, what? You're just, the lyrics are so bad, but I'm gonna kiss Chumbawamba.
Oh.
And I'm gonna straight up murder Mambo Number 5.
Wow.
I just.
Look at that. Look at that turn of events there.
I'm not interested at all in that. So Mary, Sex and Candy, kiss Tub Thumping, just get it out of the way. And then Mambo Number 5, you're dead to me.
I understand.
So Lisa, it is time for you to objectify some men.
My pleasure. What can I do?
So, These are three 90s sitcom boys.
I'm ready. I got it. I'm so ready.
Got you. Corey Matthews from Boy Meets World.
Okay.
Dawson Leary from Dawson's Creek.
Oh, gross.
Okay. So I know who you're going to kill.
Okay.
And Will Smith from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Woo! Wow.
So I'm just like, it's not even fair because I know you're going to pick Will Smith as the best one. But who knows?
Okay. I would probably kiss Will Smith, marry Corey Matthews, kill Dawson Leary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of it.
All right. Good night. No, for sure. Corey Matthews was such a good dude. Like I thought I was thinking about Boy Meets World a lot today. And I was like, Corey, I mean, and who was that? That was Fred or Ben? Ben Savage.
Yeah.
Ben Savage is adorable, and he probably still looks the same at like 51 or however old he is now. Because
Fred Savage definitely does. Fred Savage was in that Once Upon a Deadpool, like Deadpool 2 had like a re-release, and he randomly was in it. I don't know. It was a weird re-release. It was basically like the PG-13 version of the Deadpool 2.
Okay.
And he was in it. Like, he wasn't in the actual movie, but like it basically had these things where it keep going back because Deadpool had kidnapped Fred Savage and had him reading this story as if it were a Christmas story.
That's so bizarre. What is wrong with the world?
No.
And of course, kiss Will Smith because that dude is fun as hell.
Yeah, I kiss Will Smith. I was just like, this isn't even fair. Like, he's just like him, like above and beyond the other three, like so much. So.
Yeah, and then of course Dawson Leary can just die in a fire.
Yeah. I didn't know your feelings on it, but some people really like Dawson's Creek. So,
what is that actor's name? Do you know it? It's gonna kill me. The actor who played Dawson. It's right there. It doesn't matter. I was just wondering if I could remember.
Vanderbeek.
Yes, gross. Even his real name is gross.
Yeah, I know, it's not great.
No, it's terrible.
So, anyways, I think it's probably a good time to let our listeners off the hook. Thanks so much. Yeah, let him off the. Your sentence is over.
You're free. We're finally
releasing you.
Yeah.
Do not collect go. Do not collect $200.
Yeah.
So real quick, where to find us? As always, you can check us out on Facebook and Twitter at 90s Court.
Mm-hmm.
You can check us out on Instagram at 90s.court. Please check us out on whatever podcast app you use and subscribe to us there. Especially if you're on Apple Podcasts, please understand it would mean the world to us if you guys would hop in there and leave us a review, give us 5 stars and then leave us a nice review saying what you like about the show. This actually helps us a ton as far as getting noticed and seen on Apple Podcasts. So that would mean the world to us.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, we'll have our polls up on Facebook, and sometimes I'll put it on Twitter. Other times I'll have other polls on there, but you can check us out either place. So anything you wanted to say to our listeners, Lisa?
No, except for just get on there and vote. Vote, 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 vote.
Vote, rock the vote. 1992.
Rock the vote.
Rock the vote. That was a thing. Oh my gosh. Anyways, thanks everybody. We love you and have a great week.
See you later. Bye.